Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
The storm started just after midnight. At first, it sounded like sleet tapping lightly against the windows, the kind of weather people barely notice during winter in that part of the state. But sometime after everyone went to bed, the temperature dropped hard enough for the rain to turn into thick, heavy snow. By 2 in the morning, the entire dead-end street had disappeared beneath it. Adam woke several times during the night because of the silence. That was what he remembered most clearly years later. Snow changed the world outside in a way nothing else did. Cars disappeared, wind softened, even distant highway noise vanished beneath the storm until the entire neighborhood felt isolated from everything beyond it. Normally, he loved snow days. At 10 years old, nothing felt more exciting than waking up to canceled school and untouched snow deep enough to bury your shoes. But that morning, something about the quiet unsettled him before he even opened his eyes. His bedroom sat on the third floor of the narrow old house his family rented at the end of the street. Beyond the backyard stretched an open field leading all the way to the road where the school bus normally stopped each morning. During summer, kids cut through the field constantly. During winter storms, it became a flat, white emptiness with almost nothing to break the wind. When Adam first looked outside, the storm was still falling heavily enough that the field blurred at the edges. At first, he thought someone had left a trash can near the bus stop, and then he realized the shape was too tall. A person stood near the road. Even through the snow, something about the figure looked wrong in a way Adam struggled to explain. Not frightening exactly, just unnatural somehow. The person stood perfectly still while snow whipped around them, facing toward the house instead of the street. He squinted through the darkness, trying to make out details, but visibility kept shifting with the snowfall. One moment, the figure almost disappeared completely. The next, it stood sharply visible against the white field again. Adam checked the clock beside his bed. 4:38 a.m. The bus would not arrive for hours. For several seconds, he simply watched the figure standing there in the storm. Then curiosity outweighed unease, and he climbed out of bed to get a better look from downstairs. The house felt colder than usual. His parents' bedroom door remained shut as he moved quietly through the hallway toward the stairs. Halfway down, he stopped beside the second-floor window overlooking the side yard. The figure had moved closer. Not much, but definitely closer. The bus stop sat nearly 70 yards from the house, yet now the figure stood somewhere near the middle of the field. Snow swirled hard enough that Adam could not tell whether it had walked closer or simply appeared nearer between gusts. Still, something bothered him immediately. He had never actually seen it move. The figure remained completely motionless every time he looked directly at it. Adam continued downstairs toward the kitchen, telling himself the person was probably someone walking through the storm for some ordinary reason. Maybe a neighbor. Maybe someone whose car got stuck nearby. But by the time he reached the kitchen window, fear had already begun, replacing curiosity. The figure stood much closer now, near the edge of the backyard. The snow should have made movement difficult, especially through the open field, yet somehow the person kept appearing nearer every time he looked from another window. Stranger still, no footprints were visible behind them. The field remained smooth and untouched beneath the falling snow. That detail froze him in place. The figure itself remained difficult to see clearly through the storm, but Adam could make out enough now to know it wore dark winter clothing, long coat, gloves, something covering the head. Snow gathered across the shoulders while the figure stood facing the kitchen door without moving. Then the figure tilted slightly upward. Not enough for Adam to see a face, just enough that he understood it was looking directly toward the house. A wave of fear hit him so suddenly that he backed away from the window without fully understanding why. Even years later, that part remained impossible to explain properly. Nothing overtly threatening had happened yet. The figure had not waved, approached the door, or entered the yard. Still, every instinct in his body screamed the same thing. Hide! Instead, Adam ran upstairs to wake his brother. His older brother slept in a converted attic room near the top floor staircase and reacted exactly the way exhausted teenagers usually react to frightened younger siblings at 5 in the morning. Half awake and irritated, he barely listened while Adam tried explaining someone was outside near the field. His brother muttered something about snowplow workers and rolled back over. Adam stood there for another moment, hoping his brother would get up anyway. He didn't. So Adam returned to the hallway window alone. The figure had moved again. Now it stood near the side yard fence, only 30 or 40 feet from the house, still motionless and still facing the kitchen door. The snow had eased slightly by then, enough that Adam could finally make out clearer details. The coat looked old somehow, darker than the surrounding storm itself. One arm hung stiffly at the figure's side while the other remained hidden beneath the coat. The strangest thing, though, was the posture. The person stood too still. Not like someone waiting outside. More like someone pretending to be a person, standing outside. That was when the power flickered. The hallway lights dimmed once, came back, then dimmed again hard enough for the entire house to groan quietly around him. The sudden change reflected sharply against the glass, and for one brief moment, Adam lost sight of the figure completely. Then the lights steadied. The yard below was empty. Adam stared through the window, trying to understand where the person could have gone. The field remained wide open beneath the snowstorm. There were no trees nearby, no parked cars, nowhere someone could disappear that quickly. His chest tightened painfully, because deep down, he already knew the figure had not gone away. It had only moved somewhere he couldn't currently see. The realization hit him hard enough that he ran back toward his bedroom without looking through another window. By the time he reached the third floor, his breathing had become ragged with panic. He climbed into bed and pulled the blankets over himself despite knowing how childish it felt. For several long minutes, he lay there listening to the storm outside and trying to convince himself he imagined the entire thing. Then he heard footsteps downstairs, slow movement crossing the kitchen floor beneath him. Not loud, not aggressive, just deliberate enough that every muscle in his body locked instantly. He held his breath and listened harder. The footsteps continued briefly through the first floor below, followed by what sounded like the soft creak of the side door opening somewhere downstairs. Then silence. He stayed hidden beneath the blankets until morning light finally reached the windows. When his brother eventually came upstairs to wake him for breakfast, the storm had already passed. Sunlight reflected painfully bright across the untouched snow outside, and for several minutes the events from earlier that morning almost felt dreamlike. Until his brother casually mentioned something strange, someone had walked circles around the house during the night. At first, Adam thought he misunderstood. Then his brother pointed toward the backyard. From the third floor window, tracks were clearly visible in the snow below, not approaching the house, circling it over and over again. For years, Adam convinced himself the figure in the snow had been some kind of dream. Not fully a dream, exactly. More like the sort of distorted memory children create out of fear, weather, darkness, and imagination. That explanation became easier as he grew older because nothing else ever happened afterward. No strange sightings, no footsteps outside the house, no shadow moving through windows during storms. Life simply continued. His family moved out of the dead-end house 3 years later after his parents divorced. His older siblings moved away. The field behind the house was eventually developed into a row of townhomes. The bus stop disappeared entirely. And slowly, the memory faded into something he rarely talked about. Even then, certain parts never sat right with him. The tracks bothered him most. He remembered standing at the kitchen window that morning while his brother pointed into the backyard. The snow around the house looked disturbed in strange looping patterns as though someone had walked slow circles around the property, as his father insisted they belonged to a dog. His mother disagreed immediately. Adam remembered that part clearly because it was unusual for her to contradict his father so quickly. She stood at the sink, staring outside much longer than anyone else did that morning, coffee untouched in her hands, while his brother joked about snow creeps outside the house during the night. Nobody laughed very hard. At the time, Adam assumed the tension came from his parents arguing again. Looking back, he realized something else had unsettled them too. Still, the subject disappeared quickly after that, which was why it shocked him years later when his sister brought it up at Thanksgiving. By then, Adam was 31 years old. His mother had remarried long ago. His older brother lived two states away, and most family gatherings had settled into the quieter rhythm that came with age. People talked about work, mortgages, kids, medications, and old stories everyone already knew by heart. The storm came up accidentally. His niece mentioned hoping for enough snow to cancel school the following week, which triggered the usual conversation about storms from when they were kids. His older brother started laughing about one winter where their father got his truck stuck at the end of the street, and somewhere during the conversation, Adam casually mentioned the figure near the bus stop. The table went quiet. Not dramatically, just long enough for everyone to notice. His sister looked at him strangely from across the dining room table. Then she asked him if he remembered the knocking. Adam felt cold immediately. At first, he assumed she meant something from another memory entirely. But as she continued talking, it became obvious she was describing the same night. She said someone knocked on the side door during the storm, three slow knocks sometime before sunrise. She remembered hearing it from the bedroom she shared with their older sister on the second floor. According to her, the knocking woke her up badly enough that she almost went downstairs to see who was outside before hearing their mother moving through the hallway. Adam stared at her in disbelief. He had never heard anything about knocking at the door before. Their mother slowly lowered her fork onto her plate. So then she admitted she remembered it too. Not just the knocking, the door itself. According to her, she woke sometime before dawn because she thought the side door downstairs had opened briefly during the storm. She remembered hearing cold wind move through the kitchen below and initially assumed their father had gone outside to smoke cigarettes again. But when she checked beside her in bed, he was still asleep. That detail unsettled her enough that she got up and walked halfway downstairs, and she never found anyone. The side door was shut and locked when she checked it, but she distinctly remembered snow blowing across the kitchen floor near the doorway, as though the door had stood open moments earlier. Adam's brother looked visibly uncomfortable by then. For several seconds, he said nothing at all. Then he admitted he remembered something, too. Not the figure, not knocking, footsteps. Heavy footsteps moving slowly through the first floor while everyone else was asleep. Adam felt his stomach tighten, because that was exactly what he remembered hearing from upstairs beneath his blankets. The table fell quiet again after that. Outside, snow had started falling lightly beyond the dining room windows, soft enough at first that nobody mentioned it. Adam noticed his mother watching it while absently rubbing her hands together, the same way she always did when nervous. Then his brother said something that shifted the entire conversation. He asked whether anyone remembered the dog refusing to go outside afterward. Adam had forgotten about the dog entirely. But the moment his brother mentioned it, the memory returned immediately. Their old shepherd mix had spent nearly 2 days growling at the backyard after the storm passed. Every time someone opened the side door, the dog stopped abruptly near the kitchen entrance and refused to step into the snow. Eventually, their father dragged the animal outside by the collar while it whined and fought hard enough to leave claw marks across the linoleum floor. Their father eventually discovered something else strange while clearing snow later that afternoon. The tracks circling the house never led away. That detail hit Adam harder than everything else combined. According to his brother, their father walked the property trying to follow the prints through the yard, but eventually realized they simply stopped near the side of the house beneath Adam's bedroom window. No return tracks, no path back toward the road, nothing. Adam looked toward his mother, expecting her to dismiss the memory somehow, but instead, she stared silently out the window for several long seconds before speaking again. Very quietly, she admitted there was one thing she had never told them. That morning after the storm, she found wet footprints inside the kitchen. Not boot prints, bare footprints. Small ones? Nobody spoke for several seconds after their mother admitted finding the footprints in the kitchen. Outside, the snowfall beyond the dining room windows had grown heavier, soft flakes drifting steadily through the yellow glow of the porch light. Adam became suddenly aware of how quiet the house had become around them. Even the children in the living room sounded distant now. His brother finally broke the silence first and asked why she had never told anyone before. Their mother hesitated for a long moment before answering. Then she admitted she had convinced herself over the years that exhaustion must have distorted her memory somehow. At the time, she and their father had barely been sleeping. Money problems, stress, constant fighting. Everything in that period of their lives felt blurred together. Now. Still, she remembered wiping melted snow from the kitchen floor near the side door while everyone else remained asleep upstairs. And she remembered the footprints leading nowhere. Not through the kitchen, not toward the stairs. Just several wet prints standing near the doorway as though someone had entered the house and stopped there, then vanished. Adam noticed his sister rubbing her arms uneasily beside him. That was when she mentioned the hallway. At first, nobody understood what she meant. Then she quietly explained that for years she had convinced herself this memory belonged to a dream, too. The morning after the storm, sometime before sunrise, she woke briefly and saw someone standing upstairs near the third floor staircase, not moving, watching the hallway. She'd always assumed it was their father checking on everyone during the storm until she realized the figure seemed too tall and unnaturally still. Before she could fully wake herself up, it stepped backward slowly into the darkness near the staircase and disappeared. Adam felt genuinely sick hearing that, because he had never told anyone where he first saw the figure outside. Near the bus stop and standing completely still and facing the house. The conversation fractured after that. Nobody wanted to continue discussing it openly, yet nobody wanted to leave the table either. Memories surfaced slowly in pieces, each one somehow making the others worse. His brother remembered the power flickering repeatedly before dawn. Their mother remembered hearing the side door creak open again. Later that morning, while everyone stood together in the kitchen, Adam suddenly recalled waking briefly sometime after sunrise and thinking he saw snow melting across the hardwood floor near the stairs before falling asleep again. Individually, none of the memories sounded impossible. Together, they felt wrong. What unsettled Adam most was realizing how long the family had silently carried pieces of the same experience without ever discussing them. Everyone had privately convinced themselves their memory was distorted somehow. A dream, exhaustion, childhood imagination. But no two people remembered the same thing. And yet all of them remembered something. Eventually, the conversation drifted elsewhere the way uncomfortable family conversations usually do. Dishes needed cleared. The television came back on in the living room. Somebody opened another bottle of wine. But the atmosphere inside the house never fully recovered that night. Adam stayed awake long after everyone else went to bed. Snow continued falling outside while he sat alone in the guest room, staring through the window at the dark street below. By then, he had spent more than 20 years trying to convince himself the figure outside the old house was only a frightened childhood memory. Now that explanation no longer worked. Because if he alone remembered it, that was imagination. If the entire family remembered different pieces of the same night, something else had happened. Around 1 in the morning, he finally got up and went downstairs for water. The house was silent except for the low hum of the refrigerator and the occasional groan of settling wood as wind pushed against the siding outside. He stood near the kitchen sink for several moments, staring absently into the backyard while snow drifted through the darkness beyond the porch light. That was when he noticed the footprints. At first he thought they belonged to deer crossing through the neighboring yard, then he realized they formed a slow circle around the house. His stomach tightened instantly. The tracks curved through fresh snow beyond the porch light before disappearing behind the side of the house, exactly the same way he remembered from childhood. Adam stood frozen at the window, trying to convince himself there had to be some ordinary explanation, but deep down, panic had already begun spreading through his chest. Because the snowfall had only started an hour earlier, those tracks were fresh. He grabbed his coat almost without thinking and stepped outside. The cold hit immediately, sharp enough to sting his lungs while snow drifted silently across the dark yard around him. For several long seconds, he simply stood there listening. Nothing moved. The tracks continued around the side of the house in a slow, looping pattern exactly like the ones from his childhood memory. Adam followed them carefully through the snow until they disappeared around the far corner near the detached garage. Someone stood at the edge of the yard. Not close, near the road, partially obscured by falling snow. Adam could not make out details clearly through the storm, only the outline of a person standing perfectly still beneath the streetlight at the far end of the block. Watching the house, every instinct told him to go back inside immediately. Instead, he found himself staring across the snow, trying to understand what he was seeing. The figure remained completely motionless while wind carried snow around it in slow, shifting waves. Then the porch light behind him flickered once. Adam glanced back instinctively toward the house, only for a second. But when he looked toward the road again, the figure was gone. The street stood empty beneath the snowfall. He returned inside immediately after that, locking the kitchen door hard enough that the sound echoed through the silent house. For several long minutes, he stood near the window, staring out into the darkness, waiting for movement near the road. Nothing appeared. Eventually, he forced himself upstairs and lay awake until morning. The next day, he checked the yard again after sunrise. The tracks remained visible, circling the house, but near the road where the figure had stood, the snow remained untouched. No footprints approached the property. No tracks led away. Just smooth white snow stretching toward the street. Adam never told the rest of the family what he saw that night, partly because he knew how impossible it sounded, mostly because some part of him already understood something worse. Whatever had stood outside the old house during the storm all those years ago had never wanted to come inside. It had only wanted the family to know it was there.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery, but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's the Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.